The Global Traveler Podcast is brought to you by TimeForYourVacation.com, your exclusive door to your next amazing vacation. Tired of not knowing what to do on your time off or how to spend your vacation? The fine people at TimeForYourVacation.com are there to walk you through any and all problems that you may have. Don't waste your time navigating the internet trying to find places to go and people to see. From cruises to resorts or European trips and more, go to TimeForYourVacation.com. That's TimeForYourVacation.com. TimeForYourVacation.com. You spend your life sitting there trying to figure out how to spend your time off. Now, we've all been there. Did you know you can get a personal tour of Las Vegas or Disneyland or even Portland, Oregon? Seriously. This is Dave from DaveTheTourGuide.com, and I spend 1 week a month in Las Vegas and Los Angeles giving tours of these fantastic places. While in Vegas, you will walk in the footsteps of the Mafia and the Rat Pack while you stay in a hotel casino on Fremont Street. You will visit an amazing steakhouse that Elvis and Marilyn Monroe used to eat at, check out a museum of classic neon signs from casinos, and ride in a party bus while you visit other areas on the Strip. Even take a trip to the Grand Canyon. You will even be sent a copy of my Las Vegas tour guide, currently available exclusively on Amazon. While at Disneyland, you will spend 2 days enjoying Disneyland in California Adventure theme parks while you take the self-guided tour through both parks. Then, 2 extra days, you will travel to Hollywood, visit the Walk of Fame and the Griffith Observatory, get some awesome views of the Hollywood sign, and even eat dinner while watching Knights of the Round Table joust. Then, spend the day visiting Beverly Hills and a famous Hollywood cemetery. Everything has been planned and nothing has been left out of your enjoyment. You can contact us at DaveTheTourGuide.com. That's DaveTheTourGuide.com. Or simply call us at 503-933-4759. That's 503-933-4759. We look forward to hearing from you. What's this? Could it be? Do I actually have the podcast out on time? Yeah, who would have thunk it? Hey, this is Dave the Tour Guide from DaveTheTourGuide.com. And of course, TimeForYourVacation.com. This week we have a great conversation with Andy Mangles, an old friend of mine who travels America doing comic book conventions, speaking at Star Wars conferences and such. Andy literally wrote the book about Star Wars. Literally, Star Wars, The Essential Guide to Characters, which is available on Amazon as we speak. And we sit and talk so much about Star Wars. Oh, man, we didn't get a chance to talk about travel as much as I wanted to. But we sort of ran out of time because my laptop battery was kind of nearing the end. Unfortunately, I didn't plug it in beforehand. So we had to cut the interview short, but he'll be back sometime in the future. We had a great conversation. For those nerds out there, talking Star Wars, talking Wonder Woman, he's in the process of breaking a Guinness Book of World Record. He's going to have his name in the Guinness Book of World Records. So that's really exciting. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But right now, my wife and I are getting ready to go to Las Vegas for our anniversary. She and I are in Las Vegas, as you know, first week out of every month. The first full week, we're usually there giving tours. And for May, we're actually not doing one for May, which means that our season is over for Las Vegas because we don't go June, July, or August. I won't go to the Mojave Desert in June, July, or August. I go back in September. So those of you who are thinking about doing one of our Las Vegas tours, we pick it back up in September of 2024. So get in touch with us at timeforyourvacation.com or davethetourguide.com. You can get in touch with us there. Okay, with that said, my wife and I, when we're doing this, we don't get a lot of time together because I'm usually working, and it's fun work, but still, it distracts us. So she's always been wanting to do this, that, and the other. And I said, well, let's do it. Let's go down to Las Vegas. It's an easy flight from Portland. And let's do all the stuff she's always wanted to do that we just haven't gotten around to doing. So, yeah, it'll be a lot of fun for us. And I look forward to sitting down and telling you about our experiences there. Normally, a part of our tour is we'll see a movie at the Sphere, the Darren Aronofsky film, if it's running that day. It doesn't run all the time, but if it's running, that's part of the tour. I've never seen it. Jashawn, my wife, has never seen it. Mostly because, well, we're working, and this is how we make part of our living, and I don't want to spend gobs of money doing touristy things. And I'd be seeing the movie over and over and over again if I saw it with the people giving the tour to. And I don't really want to do that. So I would rather drop them off. I sit in the party bus and just sort of wait. I'm waiting in a party bus. I mean, how hard is that, really? You know, I have no reason to complain. I sit there on my TikTok. I hang with the driver. And then when the people come out, we go on to the next part of the tour. Anyway, she's always wanted to go in the Sphere. So finally, I got us something for the Sphere. We have not yet, believe it or not, we're in Vegas 1 week out of most months. And we have yet to do Cirque du Soleil, the love show. And when I heard it was being closed, they're shutting it down in July, I want to say, July 2024. I went ahead and got us a couple of tickets. So she's always wanted to do that. So we're going to go ahead and take care of that. And a lot of other little things as well. So this was my wife's and I's anniversary gift. The fact that we're out of home and we could just literally let our hair down and not have to worry about anything. Dress like tourists, just be tourists, just have fun, take tons of pictures and just stay up as late as we want and eat candy. It's strange when you get to a certain age, you start doing all the stupid stuff you wanted to do when you were a teenager. When I was a teenager, I'd stay up late at night, watch The Creature Feature, or on Saturday nights, it was Portland Wrestling. I'd watch Portland Wrestling out of the Portland Sports Arena, and I'd eat candy. Or my mom would, during the summer, she'd go to Dairy Queen, and she'd get Dilly Bars, the cherry Dilly Bars. And that was our thing. As soon as wrestling started, we would take the Dilly Bars and we would sit there and eat them in the hot, hot, hot August nights because our house didn't have air conditioning. It was the dark ages. It would get really hot in the summertime. The living room faced the west and it got all that hot evening sun, hot afternoon sun. And we would just sit there with our Dilly Bars and we'd just cool down. But I digress, because the other thing I should mention is my wife got me a fantastic anniversary gift. Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines got in touch with her because we took a cruise last year, and because she gambled so much, they want her back, so they gave her a buy one, get one free cruise. Buy a ticket, get a ticket free. So she booked everything and she gave it to me already. And she's like, okay, at the end of September, we are going to go to Tampa, Florida, and we're going to take a 7-night Caribbean cruise. We got two stops in Mexico. There's a Cozumel. And I forget the other one off the top of my head. Then there's a stop at an island in Honduras, just off Honduras. And then Belize City. And Belize is a country I've always wanted to go to during lockdown, during COVID, like the worst of COVID, when we were wondering if our species was going to continue to exist. I did my Ancestry.com because I was bored to tears, like a lot of people. You know, Netflix and chill sounds great until you do it for a couple of days. Then you're like, God, get me out of the house. I got to do something. So I did my Ancestry.com, and I actually measured the DNA, they do the DNA test, and they say this is how much your DNA is from this region. And I found out that a whopping 1% of my DNA comes from the Belize area, a Native American tribe there. And so I kind of like the idea that as I walk Belize, just the thought that my great-great-great-great-great-great-grandparent, one or the other, once walked the same area, and I'm sort of walking in their footsteps. I kind of just kind of like that. I kind of like that idea. My father saw it. My father's from Mexico. My mother's DNA is all British and Scottish and Irish and all that. My father's is all, if you look at Mexican DNA, it's all Spanish and Native Americans. The Spanish, of course, owned that entire area. And then as far as Mexico is concerned, they fought for their independence. But like Honduras was given their independence. But that's a whole different story. But anyway, I'm looking forward to all this. Today I made reservations to go to a place called Paradise Beach when we were in Cozumel. It's a private beach. It was $68 per adult. You go in, it's all inclusive. You've got all the food you can eat, all the drink you can drink, everything but like top shelf liquor, which I don't drink at all, so that's no big deal. And I went ahead and spent the extra money and I got us a day bed. So we have one of those cool day beds that just sits on the beach. And that's our home base of operations. We can just lay there and look at the ocean. And I went ahead and got us a little upgrade that allowed us to get some snorkeling equipment. Because my wife likes to snorkel. And I've never snorkeled. So I said last time she went snorkeling, we were in Florida. If you remember the first episode of our podcast, we talked a little bit about that. We talked a little bit about going snorkeling. And I said, you know what? I'll go with you next time. I'll snorkel with you. So I went ahead and got the package so we can get the snorkeling. And I'm actually purchasing a underwater camera so I can take video of all the nice little fishies swimming around us going, yeah, we're too cute. You're not going to eat us. Not enough meat on our bones. Yeah, my uncle was a salmon. You had him for dinner last night. Why? Anyway, it's a lot of fun. You can look it up on YouTube, Paradise Beach in Cozumel. And that's all we have planned so far. I mean, we got a few months out before the cruise. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. So this week on our show, like I mentioned, Andy Mangles. I've known Andy for decades. I'll tell you right now, he was the first person I ever interviewed back in my comic book days. We had these things called fanzines. And he caught my attention because he lived locally and he is into the live action superhero movies and TV shows, which back in the early 90s were very rare. Today with CGI, it's a lot easier. So he and I have just become friends, and we're going into the magazine, the Global Traveler magazine, is going to be our Pride issue, which is about to come out sometime in early May. And I always joke with Andy, I'm like, you're the most famous gay guy I know. He always gets a kick out of that. But I asked him, I said, hey, would you sit down and do an interview about your career and about traveling, going around? And he's like, yeah, sure, I'd love to. I love to travel. And like a lot of people, he doesn't get to travel as much as he would like, but he is thinking about changing that. He usually just travels for work. You know, work. But with that said, our conversation was really fun. I'm not letting you too much out of the bag by telling you that I actually recorded the interview last night, and of course we'll be airing it here just shortly after the commercial break. And it's sort of a free flow conversation about Star Wars and the Justice League movies and all this other stuff that we never get around to talking about whenever I actually get a chance to talk to him. This man is so busy. He's always writing books and getting in Guinness Book of World Records and all that. Yeah, he's always busy. Busiest man I know. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break now. On the other side of the break, we're going to come back and we're going to be visited by Mr. Andy Mangles. Thank you for joining us for the Global Traveler Podcast. Did you know there is a free digital Global Traveler magazine you can subscribe to? Just go to globaltravelermag.com. That's Global Traveler, MAG.com. And you can read our latest issue 100% free of charge. While you are there, drop us a line and we will remind you once a new issue is dropped and send you a link. It's so simple. Oh, did I mention it's free? That's globaltravelermag.com. globaltravelermag.com. Andy is a USA Today and New York Times best-selling author and co-author of over 30 fiction and nonfiction books, including the Star Trek universe, Roswell, Iron Man, X-Files, and of course, Star Wars. He's an award-winning comic book anthology editor and a pop culture historian. He also, I've heard, does some DVD documentaries. We'll talk a little bit about those shortly. But the one thing I want to know, I've known Andy for decades, and he has like the coolest Star Wars collection of anyone I've ever known. But what he actually is really known for today is Wonder Woman. Isn't that right, Andy?
Yep. In fact, I am this summer, I'm going to hopefully be getting the Guinness Book of World Record for having the world's largest Wonder Woman collection. I'm in the process of cataloging it all now, which is an enormous undertaking. You know, there's probably about 10,000 items, and they all have to be cataloged and photographed for Guinness.
Oh, I always wondered what that process was like. Can you name maybe a couple of really cool things that you have Wonder Woman wise that might make the average fanboy jealous?
Well, you know, it's funny because when you talk about Wonder Woman, it's a question of which version of Wonder Woman, and people who grew up in the 70s and 80s, that version of Wonder Woman that they know best is Linda Carter.
Yeah.
And I have a life-size mannequin of Linda Carter that was custom created, and I actually got access to one of her original costumes and traced a pattern off of it using a plastic shower curtain so that I could see through it as I was tracing it. And we made an exact replica of Linda's costume, which is, by the way, how Warner Brothers makes their versions as well, is just making patterns off the original. So I've got that. I have all the scripts and a lot of the artwork from the opening of the TV show, and a lot of the 16 millimeter prints of it.
Oh, wow.
But beyond that, you know, today's audience would think more of Gal Gadot as their Wonder Woman. And I've got, you know, a lot of things from there. One of the funniest things is I have a poster that was signed by Chris Pine, Gal Gadot, and Patty Jenkins. And it was signed at Comic-Con. I was the last person in line, and they put me there because I was kind of a celebrity and they didn't want to make me wait in line, so they just had me like sit around elsewhere, and then they had me come up as the last person in line. And one of the big press photographers, there's a photo up on the Getty website of me getting my poster autographed by Gal and Patty. And it's kind of funny because initially they were like, a fan gets this, and somebody apparently wrote to them and said, that's not just a fan. That's Andy Mangles. And then beyond that, I wrote a Wonder Woman meets the Bionic Woman comic series.
That's
and
right.
I bought a lot of the artwork for that. So those are kind of some of my favorite collectibles.
Well, you did Wonder Woman. What was it called? Wonder Woman 77 or what was that?
Yeah,
called?
It was Wonder Woman 77 meets the Bionic Woman. Yeah, it was a 6-issue miniseries from Dynamite and DC Comics.
Yeah, that was literally the Linda Carter version of Wonder Woman, set in the 1970s. at
Correct.
me
Yep.
meeting the Bionic Woman, which of course was set in the
Lindsay
1970s.
Wagner. Yep. It was and the two of them are friends in real life, so it was kind of fun for me to mix up that energy of what I had thought about as a kid, as a 10-year-old, when I was watching those two shows, and getting to write that into a comic series, knowing that not only were they going to be friends in the comic series, but in real life, the two actresses were friends.
Right. You and I have never really had a chance to sit down and actually talk about the whole Justice League thing and the movies and the fiascos that happened and this, that, and the other. And what the audience doesn't know is we met because you were writing for first Amazing Heroes, then Wizard Magazine, the Hollywood column. And I've always had an interest in the live action superhero stuff. Because I grew up like you with the Incredible Hulk and Wonder Woman, those TV shows. And so we've never had a chance to really sit down. Whenever we talk, it's always about Star Wars. Whenever we've never had a chance to actually sit down and talk about the whole Justice League thing. I've never really had a chance to, you probably know more insider information than anybody I will ever meet about it. But while we're on the topic of Wonder Woman, what were your thoughts of, first of all, Gal Gadot? I thought wonderful. Literally, pun intended, as Wonder Woman. I thought
Right.
she made a great Wonder Woman. I never even heard of her until she was cast, but I thought she was very good. And unfortunately, my opinion, not a fan of her two films. I didn't particularly care for them. Justice League, what were your thoughts? What's your thoughts on the whole thing?
I am a fan of the first Wonder Woman film, definitely. I felt like they really did justice, so to speak. They did justice to the character and the feel of her. And part of that was, it's the same reason that Linda Carter's version was so impactful for the audiences, was that they didn't in any way make fun of the character. And they had, the things that work about Superman, the movie with Christopher Reeve, and in the Batman films when they take it seriously, is that they're taking the character with the seriousness that the fans want them to, and they're paying respect to the history of the character, as opposed to coming up with something completely new. And so with Wonder Woman, the first film, they were really being respectful of the story that people knew, while still reinventing it in a new way for the audience. I'm not a huge fan of the Zack Snyder stuff. Visually, it's stunning, and I'm happy that he cast Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman and some of the other actors that he cast. But story-wise, I think they're a huge mess. And unfortunately, mostly due to COVID, Wonder Woman 1984, the second film, was also kind of a mess. I think it could have really, really benefited from a little bit more time and a little bit more input into it. I mean, I can look at it and say, give me 15 minutes in the editing room and I could improve the film, a hundredfold, just based on giving you some feedback on some things that didn't work, that you wouldn't have to do much to make them work. I've been writing about Hollywood since the early since the late 1980s, even though I grew up in Montana. Everyone thought I grew up in Hollywood because I have been writing about and in Hollywood for 40 years now. And that's just been kind of more I know how to do research. I know how to find sources, and I know how to look how pre-internet, I'd be calling one person who would lead me to another person who would lead me to another person. And so when I was writing those news columns that you read, and that's how you met me. When I was writing those early news columns, everybody trusted them completely because it was the only news columns that was coming from somebody that was kind of an insider and who was making sure that it wasn't just rumors. And interestingly enough, when the internet came around, that was kind of the end of my being able to write some of that stuff because so many websites were immediately like, oh, we're going to do news stories too, but we're going to do them daily. We're going to do them immediately. And so my columns, which were monthly or weekly, did not have as much sway. But people like Harry Knowles from Ain't It Cool News, which is one of the original big news sites, they'll give me credit to this day as being kind of the inspiration for the sites that they then created. But you know, today it's all about clickbait, and it's all about wanting people to read your salacious headline, even if it has no sense of reality to it, and even if it's a rumor that was started by a fan on 4chan or on on Reddit. And you know, like, nobody's checking sources anymore. They're like, such and such is rumored to be playing this. Well, they're rumored by a fan on Reddit, not by any reputable person. They aren't going to actual people who are working on the films or television shows and saying, can you comment on this? They'll wait until they've put the rumor out, they've got, you know, their thousands of clickbait clicks on it, and then James Gunn will say, that has no basis in reality. And then they get to do a second story in which James Gunn is telling them that their first story has no basis in reality. And then they're like, hey, we got two stories that are huge clickbait out of repeating a false rumor and then having somebody deny it. I wasn't ever that way. As with my work, I was always like, let's give people the real news. There's enough real cool news out there to let people read.
Right. Getting back to the Justice League, I wasn't too thrilled with the Zack Snyder stuff either. I liked bits and pieces of it, and I thought the casting was good. My wife is madly in love with Henry Cavill. She won't admit it, but she is. But you know, everyone was freaking out when Ben Affleck was cast as Batman. I thought he was fine. I
Yeah, he
thought,
was fine.
yeah, I thought everybody did a fine job. Hey, you know what? I actually like the Flash movie, so what do I know? But anyways, with that said, I'm sorry to see the cast be swept aside for the new one. I don't know if I'm, you know, how interested I am, because I've seen this already before. To me, it's like the Amazing Spider-Man syndrome, where, well, I've already seen three Spider-Man movies. Do I want to see Spider-Man with a different face and so forth? So I'm sort of
That's
out.
the problem as a fan with getting old, is that
Yeah.
you identify with the things that are a part of your youth and that are hyper important to you. You know, I mean, those of us who grew up in the original Star Wars era, you know, we're hyper focused on those original trilogy, and then the prequels came out and we're like, ugh, you know, and then
Right.
the third set of movies came out and we were like, you know, but it's because we grew up with the original trilogy. Now, the people who grew up who were kids when the prequels came out, they're like, oh, the prequels are great. You know, and the people who grew up for the threequels were like, those are great. You know, and now you have people who grew up who may have not even seen the original movies at all, who are watching The Mandalorian or Boba Fett or Ahsoka or something like that. And suddenly, like, they're a part of the Star Wars universe, but they may not have even seen the original movies. And to them, that's the important part, the stuff that's coming out now. So it's a cyclical thing that happens with fandom. And it doesn't just happen in movies and television, it also happens in comics. It's
Yeah.
why, you know, why every 10 years, basically, you get Marvel and DC rebooting their universe again.
Again.
And, you know, and now it's down to like every 6 years because they feel like the audience is only going to stick with them for 5 or 6 years at most, and then they're going to move on. And so they reboot it every 5 or 6 years. And it's exhausting for us long-term fans to see that kind of stuff happen. But, you know, the Zack Snyder film is what, a decade old at this point when
Yeah.
he first started his stuff. And, you know, so the fact that they're pushing his people aside, well, there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, it's a decade old. And number two, all the people that were nobodies when he cast them are now commanding huge multi-million dollar salaries and they can't afford them. So now they need to cast more nobodies in these roles so that they can then build their careers up and then they'll relaunch again another decade from now.
Yeah.
You
And we're old and we'll complain about it.
know, right. You know, David Corensweet, the new Superman, I think I have no idea how he's like as an actor. I believe in what James Gunn's doing. I think he'll probably do great as Superman, that the movie will be fun. But 10 years from now, there will be another new Superman. It's going to happen. And so you can be like, yay, David Corn's sweet if you're young, but realize that 10 years from now it'll be someone else.
Right. You mentioned Star Wars. So just for a minute, the thing about those George Lucas prequel films, and you can make fun of them all you want. I do. the whole Jar Jar Binks thing, the whole Darth Vader. No. Oh, geez, Louise. Those films felt like big, grand adventures. Each one of them did. Even Phantom Menace, which is my least favorite Star Wars, well, other than Solo, my least favorite Star Wars movie ever. So you can say what you want. Those sequel films that didn't have that same panache or oomph, so to speak, I think. I didn't hate the sequel films as much as most people did. I was happy there was a female lead, unlike some people. So Star Wars fans can be some the worst, most fickle fans in the universe. But be that as it may, the sequel films did not feel that big and grandiose. I thought, and I really didn't like the way they killed off Princess Leia. That was just really stupid. But anyway, what are your thoughts on that?
I had an interesting, the prequels came out while I was still working, or I was trying to reboot working with Lucasfilm, and I was on a TV show, and they asked me a rather controversial question about the Phantom Menace, and I answered in what I hoped was the best manner possible, and Lucasfilm still wasn't happy with my answer because it didn't ameliorate the problem, but I wasn't going to sit there and outright lie on a TV show about it, and so I didn't work for Star Wars after that yet. Nowadays, who knows? But I feel like the prequels, yes, they did have a sense of adventure to them, and they were much huger and much because it was the early days of CGI environments and creating wholesale CGI characters and integrating them with live action. So there was a lot of cool stuff that did happen in them. I feel like there was way too much explanation that went on. We didn't need midichlorians. We didn't need Boba Fett as a child. There were so many things that were just explained away. We didn't need to know that the whole Star Wars rebellion started because of trade wars, and taxation. It was just like, we didn't need that. We needed cool adventure stories. And really, I felt like the threequels, as I call them, the last three films, were kind of like they felt more like Star Wars, but they were also so overstuffed, and there was so many things in them that I felt like they just kind of they just went too far in many ways with them. And your least favorite Solo, I will admit that I fell asleep halfway through it, and I've never gone back and finished watching it. I own the
Really?
DVD. I've never finished watching it. It was just so not interesting to me. I think I fell asleep during like the train sequence or something, and I woke up and they were in like a casino,
The
and
space
then I think,
casino, yeah.
yeah, I think I woke up at the end credits or something. So I'm not really qualified to talk about Solo. I will say that I loved Rogue One,
Oh, that's a great movie.
and I loved Andor, and really, like, if you're a hardcore Star Wars fan who has been for a long time, those are the two that I think you should really look to in terms of if you want somebody who respects Star Wars and who wants to build on it, watch those two. But they're also incredibly depressing.
Yes, that's true. They are. The end of Rogue One was perfect, but you're right, it was very depressing. Solo for me, not only was the story just boring as hell, it just the guy playing Han Solo, I can't really blame him because he doesn't have, the screen charm and screen charisma of Harrison Ford. I mean, not many people do. But God, I almost wish they would have done the whole deep fake and just have Harrison Ford do the voice. I almost wish they would have just done that.
Yeah, I don't think the technology had quite caught up to him by then. It'll probably be another few years before we start seeing deep fake actor movies. It'll happen in our lifetime. It's getting close to it now.
Yeah.
And I wonder, what that's going to do to projects like that, where they can just, it won't be the weird non-moving face of Princess Leia that they had. They'll actually be able to deep fake her so well that you'll think Carrie Fisher was still alive.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is, though, it seems like the Star Wars TV people have kind of really got the they've got a good balance of figuring out the difference between what worked in the early films versus what didn't work in the later films, and they're really balancing that well.
That's good. That's good. So, getting to the travel, I know you travel a lot as a speaker. Your knowledge of Star Wars is vast. You're invited to conventions, comic cons all over the place. I understand your husband just came back from Australia.
Australia.
How was
Yeah,
that?
he was in Australia for 3 weeks, and he freaking loved it. He all the things you'd want from Australia, he got to experience, including kangaroos. I unfortunately, I grew up in Montana and then moved to Portland, Oregon, and I've lived in Portland my whole life. And I've never been able to travel outside the United States or outside of North America. I've been to Canada and Mexico, but I have yet to. Scotland is number one on my list of where I want to go, and then probably Greece and Germany and the UK and so forth. I also want to go to Tokyo. Those are all like, well, someday maybe if I win a lottery, I'll get to go to some of those things, or if I'm famous enough again that they want to bring me out for a convention. But have not been able to travel out of the country. But in the US, I every year I go to San Diego, which I find to be, even in the midst of it being 500,000, fans, and it's so mind-boggling to go to Comic-Con every year and to be among that, immense crowd of humanity that is so much larger than anyone has ever experienced in their life. To be a part of that is pretty fantastic. I think this year is my 39th year or something like that going to Comic-Con.
Wow.
But beyond that, San Diego itself is so pleasant. The weather is beautiful. It's got some great places to look at. It's got some fun things to do. As a place to visit, it really, it's pretty much got everything one could want out of a place to visit. I've been, at conventions in New York and Denver and Las Vegas and a few other places, and of those, San Diego's always my favorite.
San
But
Diego is a beautiful city, and I find the people there are generally really nice as well. You go to Los Angeles, sometimes you run into that, sort of Los Angeles attitude. But you just drive what, 90 minutes south into San Diego, it's like a totally different group of people. Everyone's so polite and very well mannered. My wife and I were down there. We were in Tijuana, Mexico for a few days in January during the big ice storm up here. We
Lucky
were
you.
down there, and it was like 75 degrees and beautiful, but it was pretty chilly at night. But we had a day to spend in San Diego before we left, and we had a chance to sort of, I hadn't been in San Diego in quite a while, but you're right, it's absolutely beautiful, and just the sunsets over the Pacific are absolutely wonderful. You and your husband Don should consider like taking a cruise sometime. Now that's a lot of fun.
I think we would like to do so, and certainly with the types of cruises they do now, the theme cruises, you can go on a Star Wars cruise or a Comic-Con cruise or something like that. You can go on gay cruises, you can go on straight cruises, you can go on bear cruises. I think it would be a lot of fun to do a cruise. Just haven't been able to afford it yet. There's a fallacy people have about success in the entertainment world, and I'll tell you, I always tell people I'm famous to the people who what I do matters to. Your average person on the street isn't going to know my name. If I say, "Hey, I worked on Star Wars or Star Trek or X-Files," they'll go, "Oh, well, I know those things." I've even had Star Wars fans who have my book and they don't know who wrote it. I'm like, "I wrote that book," and they're, "Oh, really?" No, I'm a different Andy Mangels than the name on your book, but I walked into a chiropractor's office once to get some chiropractic done, and he had a shelf of books there for people to read in his waiting room. And there on the shelf, I was like, "There's one of my books on his shelf." And this 85-year-old guy, he was ancient, he had my book there. And I told him that. I said, "Hey, that book you've got right there, I wrote that." And he's like, "Oh, okay. So go ahead and lie down on the table." Like it didn't matter to him who wrote it. It was Star Wars. That's why he had it out there.
Sure.
And so fame is a weird thing, and I'll finances are a weird thing too, because I made huge amounts of money for Lucasfilm and for Paramount and for all the studios I've worked for and all the publishers I've worked for, but that trickles down very slowly. The authors and the creators who work on books or comics get paid pennies, and we have to write every single day and work on as many projects as possible just to keep our heads above water. But if we were working, say, in Hollywood, if we were writing the, here's a good example. The Mandalorian TV show is an enormous hit. I wrote a comic book in 96, 97 called Boba Fett, Twin Engines of Destruction. And in that, I actually have a scene where one of the characters asks Boba Fett why he never takes off his helmet. And he turns to them and he says, "This is my face." And now you have a TV show called The Mandalorian coming out, in which the entire premise of the show is Mandalorians, like Boba Fett, not taking off their helmets. And they say, "This is the way."
This is the
Well,
way.
this is my face and this is the way are not terribly different from each other. But the people who write The Mandalorian and who might have borrowed a concept from my book get paid, hundreds of thousands of dollars to write that. I don't even get a screen credit. I don't get a thank you. I don't get anything. I got what I got paid originally, and then I had to fight every time they reprinted it and every book they reprinted it. I had to fight to get my royalties from it. So
Jeez.
it's an interesting thing where, you can have fame, but that doesn't mean you have fortune.
Sure.
In the entertainment world, that those are not the same thing. Back to travel, traveling is something that I think it really recharges people's batteries, and it can be. I'm looking forward one of these days to going on your Las Vegas tours.
Oh, yeah.
Or one of your tours, Dave, because I imagine that you take that as serious. You have to, if you're going to be doing stuff like that, you have to take it. The fun of the people you're working with has got to be paramount to the what you're doing in your projects. And so I would imagine that your tours are probably an immense amount of fun, and you've spent a lot of time making them that way.
That's true. And you know what? I'd give you and Donna a discount if you
Oh, well,
guys came
thank
on
you.
my tour. I got to cut this short because my the battery on my computer is ending its lifespan as we speak. So we're gonna cut this short right now. And I know you have a bunch of counting you have to do to go through all your Wonder Woman action figures. So I want to thank you very much for joining us. And this is our Pride episode. And very th you honestly, you're the most famous gay guy I know. Thanks, Andy, for joining us. I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. And that's it for our episode this week. Next episode, we will continue with the Pride theme as we are entering Pride season. June is Pride Month. And be sure to check out globaltravelermag.com for the latest issue of the Global Traveler Digital Magazine. And we will have another episode of this podcast around the 15th of May 2024. All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you then.
Long way down the holiday road.